Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution Coronation Street. I'm Michael.
And I'm Gemma.
And this week we'll be discussing the episode broadcast in the UK between the 24th and the 28th of September 2012. Been a bit different for us this week. As I said at the end of last week's episode, I've not been in all week. I've been on a school trip with a class that I teach all week, and I got back yesterday and watched 5 episodes, which is kind of fun. What about you?
That sounds like your ideal day.
It was a nice evening. And well, Cory years as well.
I've been alone all week, so I've had to do my note-taking by myself. And usually when we're watching Coronation Street, I'm really bad with names, and I'll be going, Who's that? What's their name again? Because I need to be able to take notes. And I've had to come up with the names myself. This week. I think I've got Thingy a few times written down here, but I think I can work out.
I can't
believe
you don't know the character names.
I do know the character names, I just cannot ever recall them when I'm watching them.
Funny. I also, did I tell you about my Coronation Street dream that I had the other night?
Yeah, go on then.
It was only a little one. I was having a few nightmares that night, and one of them included me getting home, watching the Coronation Streets, and was shocked to find that they changed the intro sequence.
No!
Yeah, I know. It was animated. It was all in garish, kind of pastel colours.
Yeah.
It was, and then the first scene was also in, like, the first shot of the first scene was in these horrible colours as well.
Sounds like something from the 80s.
It was. That was a nightmare for me, because I thought it was bad enough when they changed the intro sequence last time.
And I was going to say, any time they change the intro sequence, it's a bad day in this house.
I don't even think there's a cat in the intro sequence.
I don't like it anymore. Why did they change it?
But luckily, woke up.
It was all a dream. Okay, before we get started, just so that you know, we've listened to the recording that we've just made, and you'll probably be able to hear our mad cat at some point when we start talking about Izzy later on. Don't be alarmed. It's not a baby that we're ignoring in favour of recording our podcast. We're not neglecting her. She's just a bit mad. So if you hear some crying in the background, it's just the cat. She likes picking up bits of her toys and wandering around the house and crying.
Yeah, so listen out, see if you can spot her.
Yeah, it's a trivia question. If you can tell us when it occurs, you get a prize.
Right, let's do street talk. Let's get started with street talk then, which is the part of the show where we discuss what's been going on the cobbles this week. It's been a bit different with our note-taking this week, because there seem to have been one or two storylines that have really dominated, with a couple of side stories that we'll mention briefly. There's obviously been Tyrone and Kirsty's drama, which has been the main focus for the week. Tyrone has been less and less trusting of Kirsty, with a volatile temper looking after the baby, but then her mum turns up and saves the day.
Yeah.
And then next big storyline has obviously been the big return of Wendy Crozier, or Wendy Papadopoulos as she's now known, and all the memories that that's brought back for Ken. And then there's just been some other storylines that have been in it a bit. The ongoing saga between Ryan and Tracy, ending up with Ryan being kicked out of the flat.
Michelle's house, yeah.
And then ending up not living in the Barlows, but going over to the Websters. Lloyd has been in it a little bit, but not much has happened there. He's been over to see Jenna. We'll talk about a bit more about that later. Pub of the Year has been mentioned briefly. And the surrogacy storyline came back on Friday's episode, and I was kind of hoping that it wouldn't make an appearance this week, because I'm getting a bit tired of it, but they still had a little bit there on Friday.
We're going to discuss the Kirsty and Tyrone storyline.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of the week, Ruby was fussing, and Kirsty was trying to feed her and she wouldn't take milk, and Tyrone wants Fizz and Sally to go and check in on Kirsty to sort of make sure she's okay.
Yeah.
Which is like the worst possible idea I've ever heard in my life. You might as well have called social services to go round.
Kirsty was seething when they were around, weren't they? And they didn't seem to take the hint. Sally was like, oh no, it's all right, I'll look after her, I'll take the baby. I remember when Rosie was born, I remember when Sophie was.
And
Kirsty was there, totally steam coming out of her ears.
Well, she wasn't happy to see Fizz either.
No, especially after she suspected Fizz and Tyrone having an affair. So anyway, she swiftly kicks them out.
And tells Tyrone that he's embarrassed her.
But then Ruby just keeps crying and she goes mad and starts to throw things around, breaks the mobile and things like that.
Yeah, because do you remember in it, like, I don't remember when it was, 4 or 5 weeks ago on the podcast, we said, is this storyline going to go with Kirsty hurting the baby? And we said, oh, I don't know, maybe not. And it looks like it could have possibly...
I think they stopped short of it, don't you think?
Well, they did this week, but...
I don't know. I don't think she'll ever go that far.
Maybe not with her mum here.
How on earth would they film that scene, even? The only way they could do it would be to discover bruises on the child later on.
I guess so.
But, so...
She threw the mobile across the room, and then Tyrone came back to find that it was smashed up, and Kirsty was apologetic, as always. She always apologises.
After she loses control, really.
Yeah.
So Tyrone takes Ruby to the medical centre to get her checked out, all hysterical, and Kirsty's phoning him going, oh, I didn't do anything.
Of course, Tyrone gets an appointment straight away at the medical centre.
Probably a cancellation.
I thought there was probably must have been a cancellation there.
So Dr. Carter sort of investigates the child, and Tyrone's saying, oh, the pram collapsed, and he finds out that Ruby's actually fine, and he's sitting outside with her. He doesn't want to go back in.
Yeah, sitting out on Maxine's bench, and then Fizz comes along.
Yeah, Kirk's there as well.
Yeah, and in the end that leads to Tyrone sort of spilling the beans to Fizz about everything that's been going on.
Yeah, he goes around her house for tea and confesses that Kirsty's out of control and trashed everything. And
I like how Fizz is being involved again. I think she's a much more of a kind of a sympathetic, understanding ear than Tina ever is. Tina just gets too wound up about it.
Tina wants to punish Kirsty, whereas Fizz just wants Tyrone to be safe and happy.
Yeah, and she said, oh, if ever you feel you need to come round, just any time of the day, come and bring Ruby to me day or night. And that was lovely. And I mean, if I was Kirsty and I'd known about this, I might be a bit suspicious about them eventually having a thing together. Do you think you can see Fizz and Tyrone back together in the future?
Maybe, I don't know. I'd never thought about it.
Because it's obviously, I really don't think it's going to last between Tyrone and Kirsty. I think she's taken it too far now, and Tyrone almost admitted as much as well during the episode. Fizz has been treading water a little bit since the John Stabe saga, so I think it might be nice to see Tyrone and her back together again.
Yeah, well, Tyrone refuses to leave, so Fizz advises him to talk to the counsellor that Kirsty's been seeing.
So he finds the number, and you could always see it happening, couldn't you? So if it phones up and says, hello, you've been talking to Kirsty, my partner. You could always hear the other side of the conversation saying, no, I've never heard of someone called
Kirsty. What do you mean?
Which is true. Kirsty has not been going to counselling, so Tyrone confronts her about that, and she just said, oh, it wasn't working, I didn't want to do it.
Well, and also Tyrone's very upset about it and says, you know, you've been lying to me, so there's no point in
having this relationship. Yeah, and he told her that he'd given up on her.
Yeah, but he's going to stay to look after Ruby, so I'm not quite sure what he thinks is going to happen in this relationship.
No, I think he's just concerned about the baby being safe at the moment. He hasn't really given it that much thought. Next day, Tyrone spots Alison at the bus stop, which is...
Kirsty's mum,
who we saw in it a couple of months ago.
It was Kirsty's birthday party and Tyrone organised a surprise.
Yeah, and it had been clear that the mum had been abused by the dad, and we thought maybe that's where Kirsty's getting that behaviour from. Alison is really shaken up, and she reveals that she left the dad a couple of weeks ago and has been staying in a refuge since then. She was very sort of shaken up and worried. She was almost seemed a bit of a psycho herself.
I don't know if she's overacting it or she means to be flaky.
I was wondering that. She didn't seem
so flaky.
It was a bit cringy, but I didn't know whether
a bit later on she drops a glass on the floor and she starts weeping. And go, oh, I was only here to help you and now I've broken this thing.
She was obviously saying that because I can imagine her doing that at home, and her husband, if she'd have broken the glass of the bottle of milk, he would have...
Oh, no, but can you imagine? I can imagine how annoying it would be to live with someone who reacted like that to everything. No wonder he's grumpy.
Not sympathising with him, are you?
I do not condone domestic abuse, but at the same time... there's no use crying over spilt milk.
So anyway, she goes back to live with them, and they're able to persuade her to stay with them. Tyrone thinks that it'll be a way of relieving the burden.
It's really Tyrone's idea to let Alison stay with them, because Kirsty warns him that if her dad finds out, it's going to mean trouble for everybody, and she actually thinks it's going to put them in danger.
Yeah, and then, oh, what a coincidence, not 5 minutes later, he comes bursting through. I thought that was pretty bad plotting, really. I mean,
she's been missing for many...
For 2 weeks, and then, oh, what a coincidence, just as she arrives at Tyrone's house, he comes in to burst, so I didn't really like that. And he didn't seem that angry on the first day as well. He was bursting through the house, but then he was...
He just looks miserable.
He was pretty miserable.
Yeah.
Then the next episode, he snatched Ruby. Tyrone had realised that she was missing, and then he was there with Ruby, demanding that Alison go back with him.
Yeah, they had a bit of a scene, didn't they? Because Alison agrees to go back because she feels as though there's no choice for her. Kirsty's crying and trying to stop it from happening, and Tyrone ends up pushing him outside.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like that at all.
No.
And it was quite a fun scene to watch, because you sort of wanted them to have a fight, but at the same time you're really proud of Tyrone for sticking up for his family.
I wouldn't
want to shove him out of my house. I'd be terrified.
I would be terrified of, so Tyrone was braver.
He's a lot bigger than Tyrone.
But in the end, he kind of pushes Alison into the car, and then they drive off.
Of course, everyone on the street's watching.
Of course, they just happen to be there.
And so the last scene we leave with Kirsty and Tyrone is Kirsty suddenly flipping her mad switch and blaming Tyrone for everything, and they threw a rattle at his head, and then we pause for reaction.
Dramatic effect, and then it's the end. So
we don't know how he's going to react to that, but no. I'm sure it won't be positively.
No.
I was really upset at the end of this, because I thought that with all this, with Kirsty seeing her dad and the relationship that he has with her mother and how scared she is and the effect that it had on her childhood, I thought it might be sort of an out for them to write Kirsty's character to sort of reform herself and say, I've been doing exactly the same thing to you that
But my I dad... think she knows that already.
I know, but I still thought that they could use it.
They could have done
to get her out of it, but they did. They haven't. Maybe they will in the future, because I really like Kirsty. I don't know why.
But she's only interesting because she's so psychotic. I think if she calmed down, she'd be a bit boring.
No, there's two parts of Kirsty's major personality. There's her being an abusive partner, and then there's her manipulative, sneaky side, which is what I really like about her, because she makes trouble, and I think I sort of get a bit fed up with Tracy's antics sometimes, because she's so transparent, whereas Kirsty is a bit sneakier, and you don't know the character as well, so it's less predictable when she does it.
I do want Tyrone to just settle down with someone and be happy, though.
Yeah, Kirsty won't. Kirsty will never... stay on the street without Tyrone.
I think there's either two things that are going to happen now. Either he'll try and kick out Kirsty and keep Ruby, or he'll go and move in with Fizz.
Can you imagine Fizz and Tyrone raising Hope and Ruby?
Yeah, I could certainly see that happening.
Yeah, I could.
Could definitely see that happening. We'll see. Anyway, I really enjoyed that storyline this week.
Lots of
drama. The other main drama, of course, was Ken going to become a school governor.
No, I think you'll find the saddest thing that happened was the chair of governors died this week.
Oh, Meredith. Now, she has been in it before.
Absolutely tragic.
She was the one whose granddaughter was bullying Faye a couple of months ago, and she was in
I
it for a few episodes. She's
so that
kicked
kid,
the bucket.
That kid's got a lot on her plate now.
So Brian needs a new chair of governors, but doesn't want this horrible Mrs. Papadopoulos taking over.
Mrs. Papadopoulos, nobody likes her.
No, not as a viewer at that point, we don't know who this lady is. Brian wants to get Ken to be the new chair of governors.
He hits him with it out of the blue as well. He's like, can you decide, because the election's tonight, please.
Yeah, I mean, I work in a school and I don't know very much about how governors are elected, but I don't think that somebody can go from being nothing to do with the school, apart from having a granddaughter there, to being chair of governors in 24 hours.
Yeah, but this is Ken Barlow we're talking about, okay? He's like a superhero.
He's also someone who was had to leave his job as a teacher for hitting a pupil.
Well, if only Mrs. Papadopoulos had brought this up in the meeting.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised.
This is one of these convenient amnesia plot points that they have in Coronation Street. This is why I thought that Kirsty would be able to reform herself, because they're very good at sweeping things under the carpet when they want to.
Mm. Well, anyway, Ken wins the vote by one vote after Both of them give fairly good speeches.
No, he's not speeches, a bit...
It wasn't his finest hour, I think he said. But he won anyway. Probably some of the other governors didn't like Mrs. Papadopoulos, who we forgot to say is Wendy Crozier.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ken's old flame from 1989 to 1990. We'll talk a bit more about her in the character profile section later, so we won't dwell on it now. But needless to say, Ken was very surprised to find out that...
As a watcher of Coronation Street who hasn't seen many, many years, there are times when they'll introduce a character like Wendy as somebody's old flame or I used to know you, and I never know if they really were in the programme or if they're just trying to rewrite the history.
Yeah.
And so, because you weren't here, I was sort of like, who is this?
Well, the character profile section is just for you today, but
yeah, well,
and anyone else that doesn't know about Wendy and Ken's backstory.
Well, I guess that she must have really been in it, because it's not as though Ken's had much of a life off of the street.
No. So Ken, once he was decided that he wanted to be governor, was umming and ahhing about it. He had a sleepless night. He didn't know whether he should just step away, so that he doesn't
want to reopen.
Rake up the past.
Yeah.
Tells Brian he wants to resign, but Brian manipulates Ken and Wendy into having a meeting together. They go off to have lunch, which is a pretty stupid thing for Ken to do, considering he was trying to avoid the woman. Have a lovely time, nice chat, and then they agree that they're going to work well together, and I'm sure there'll be no problems with that in the future.
No, I can't see any problem with that at all, and especially not the fact that Ken didn't tell Deirdre, which is the right thing to do.
Oh, yeah, how long is he going to keep that a secret for? It's ridiculous. It was quite funny when Ken was having his meeting with Wendy and telling him about what have I been up to over the past 20 years. And we thought Ken could have just spoken for ages. Well, there's been a tram crash through the street. I've had my daughter die. I've had another son come back.
Worst enemy died in my arms.
Yeah, my stepdaughter's just come back from prison. And then Wendy's like, well, I've been living in Norfolk.
15 years I've been living in Norfolk. They haven't got a soap in Norfolk, so it's been fine.
Yeah, everything's okay where there's not a soap opera, is there? But anyway, that's all that's really happened with that plot. It was just a long setup. But I'm really happy to see Ken having a storyline. It's nice to see some of the oldies having a proper dramatic storyline, and hopefully this will let Deirdre not just be this comic relief like we were talking about the other week with her stuffed marrow.
I predict lots of Ken looking pained. He always has this look on his face like someone's just stood on his foot. And lots of Deirdre sort of, and her neck. When she gets stressed out, her neck, the cords on her neck stand out.
I think that Ken might have lots of trips to the library or walking Eccles.
Yeah, he's walking Eccles a lot.
Do you think he's going to end up with an affair?
Yes.
I don't know.
I think it's going to end up with something near an affair.
I don't want it to be exactly the same as what's her name on the boat, though.
No. He's a bit of a player, isn't he, Ken?
Oh, yeah, well, we've known that for years. They've been the two main storylines this week. Let's briefly talk about the others. Ryan and Tracy. Basically, Tracy and Michelle have just been sniping at each other all week. It started off with Michelle lending Ryan some money because of how broke he was, and then Ryan buys Tracy a necklace.
Bracelet.
A bracelet, and then they ended up snogging the faces off each other right in front of Michelle and the Rovers.
She brings him a rent book. She says, if you've got cash to flash, you can spend it on your rent.
Exactly. That led up to a fight between Tracy and Michelle in the
Brilliant.
Salon.
With the hair curlers in.
You could tell that the writers wanted it to be like the Gail and Eileen fight, because like even having Eileen walking past, I think that was to try and make the viewers think, oh, this reminds me of where Eileen had this fight in the street. It wasn't as good, I have to say. They weren't rolling around on
the floor. They had a fight like you would actually have a fight, where you don't want to lose your dignity, but you still want to get the other person.
Yeah, and Michelle was saying what everyone was thinking, which was, Tracy's just using you, Ryan. She's not interested in you. Ryan's being a total dope and hasn't seen it, or he doesn't care, or I don't know what. And
yeah,
in the end, she bans Tracy from the flat.
Yes.
Next day, of course, she's there.
Tracy's there, canoodling on the couch.
Yeah, and then they have another argument and Ryan moves out. Not to number one like he'd hoped. Tracy was obviously...
He wants to go and live with Tracy.
Tracy's not having any of that because she isn't actually that into him.
Not really, no.
So she says, oh, Ken won't like it. So he ends up having to go and live at the Webster's house. I'm surprised that Tracy's not got bored of him so far, because it's been about a month that they've been going out, and I know that she's just doing it to get at Michelle.
Are you kidding me? Michelle has given her everything she wants out of this. It's hilarious. If you were Tracy, you would be keeping it going as long as you could, because her reactions are just so priceless. She rises to it every time.
Yeah, she's not even getting at Steve at the moment, though, because he's off in Spain seeing Liz and presumably Andy. And I just hope they either drop it for a bit or it goes somewhere, because it's been a lot of back and forth.
I have a prediction.
What?
I predict that he's gonna start fancying Sophie, even though he knows she is a lesbian.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's living in the Webster's house and they've already established their little relationship.
Yeah.
Because she was one of the first people he saw when he came back from the street, to the street.
Yeah, there could be something there, that's true.
Yeah.
We shall see. It seems that he's a lot older than her when actually he's not.
But I know.
It's the actors. that's a good idea, actually. So that's been going on. Lloyd's been in it. He was the main focus last week with the reveal that he's got a secret daughter, Jenna. And then, so he went to try and meet up with her at her place of work this week, a physiotherapist, books an appointment to see her after it didn't just work going to the surgery or whatever you call it, the practice. She obviously doesn't want to see him, not interested, and he charms his way into having a meeting with her. That was quite funny at the bistro where he was all dressed up in his posh suit. It reminded me of Steve trying to impress Michelle the other week.
Yeah.
And then trying to impress her by ordering some wine, and then she's like, oh, I'd rather have a beer. So they've got something in common.
They go to the Rovers and she's much more comfortable there, and she orders a hot pot with red cabbage, which I've never seen.
I've never seen it with red cabbage before. Is that a bit of product placement from the red cabbage company, maybe?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so they get on all right. She sort of snipes at him every now and then, doesn't she?
Yeah.
But
so obviously this is just working to them, I think. It's becoming a nice, happy family for the time being.
Yeah.
They'll get Mandy involved. And
yeah, well, at the beginning of the week, Mandy still was not on speaking terms with Jenna because she'd been thrown out.
Yeah.
And she had no idea where Jenna was. And before leaving, she did warn Lloyd again not to see Jenna anymore.
Yeah. So that's quite nice to be going along in the background. Pub of the year, there was a bit on Monday there where Gloria discovered that Norris had said, what did she say about her? That she was vulgar and loud, and she obviously didn't like that. Barred him. By the end of the episode, Stella had made her apologise to him. And then Norris says he wonders what the brewery will think when they find out that she's been cheating, and then that didn't go anywhere else.
No, it didn't. But I thought it was quite interesting. There's a lot of details in the story that I liked. Like, for example, the way that Gloria discovered it was Norris who had written the card by seeing his crossword and, like, matching the handwriting. Like,
yeah, a bit of detective work going on.
Banning him and Mary. And then when Stella went to the corner shop to get some bonbons, Norris was like, no, you may not have bonbons because your mother has kicked me out of the pub. So that, I liked all that. I like it when Norris gets involved in anything.
Yeah, he's funny. And then finally, let's just talk about the surrogacy. Like I said before, I'd hoped that it wouldn't be in it this week, and it wasn't.
So briefly.
Yeah, Izzy's gone off eggs, I wrote down in my notes. Then she had to go to the clinic. I assume there'd been a cancellation there as well. And Owen's being very intensely, he wants to get really, really involved
in
it.
Really clingy and weird about everything.
He's obviously stumping up a lot of cash, but Izzy's maybe getting a little bit uncomfortable with the amount he's being involved.
Yeah, I think I would as well.
I would. I mean, Gary's a big enough problem because he won't shut up about it, and now Owen is as well.
Well, yeah, they're going off to get the injections, and Rita's saying she's going to support Tina now, so that all seems okay from that point of view. But I mean, Owen and Gary are in a weird situation because they're not involved, but they are involved.
Mm.
There's nothing they can do.
No, they've just got to sit back and watch. So they try and involve themselves as much as they can.
I suppose it's like when a dad's in the room when the woman's giving birth to the baby, and they can't actually do anything.
Yeah.
They're just there for moral support. But I think that Owen and Gary are sort of overstepping the mark a little bit because I don't know, I feel like they would ruffle my feathers if I was trying to get on with things, and they were just always there.
Yeah.
Going, don't have any coffee with caffeine.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, I could never go through that process.
No, you wouldn't be able to give it your caffeine. Tea. No.
No.
And through all this, Tommy's very obviously not really happy about what's going on as well. Yeah, so let's hope they give it a rest anyway next week, or at least just be a small amount like it was this week. And that was it for this week, apart from, well, my line of the week, which is in another storyline which we haven't even mentioned, when Kirk and Beth were interrupted having a snogging break. Kirk was just hilarious, saying, "I could sniff you all day and never get bored. You smell better than a pie."
Yep.
What a compliment.
Well, he followed it up with a bit that I wrote down, which you didn't write down, which is that she also smells better than the top of a dog's head, which is the best smell ever. Now, yeah. I know that he has worked with lots of dogs, but I've had lots of dogs in my life, and I haven't ever sniffed their head in glee. And also, you can't buy dog's head candles. So, I don't know what he's thinking there.
Yeah, so that's all that's been there.
Yeah.
Let's get on with character profile now. Okay, we'll just do a quick character profile this week, just to bring people up to speed with Wendy Papadopoulos, née Crozier, who made a dramatic return in this week's show. She's played by Roberta Kerr, and she first appeared on the 28th of June 1989. Back then she was in it on 63 episodes, and then has been in another 5 or so since then this week. When she was introduced, they had a new producer, Mervyn Watson, who wanted to add a bit of excitement. He wanted to G up the programme and add a bit more scandal to the street. And he thought that by splitting up Ken and Deirdre for good, might get more viewers in. So Wendy was introduced as a planning committee secretary for Weatherfield Council. She didn't like all the corruption that was going on in the council, so she leaked information to Ken, who was writing for the Recorder, the Weatherfield Recorder at the time. Ken told Deirdre about where this leaked information was coming from, but Deirdre warned him away from her, or she would tell their bosses about what was going on. That didn't really last. Ken carried on getting information from Wendy, and then because Deirdre also worked at the council, she was accused of being the one that was leaking the information to Ken. And then so she said, "Oh no, actually it's not me, it's Wendy." Wendy was sacked, and then Ken offered her a job at the Recorder. There'd been lots of wrang between Ken and Deirdre anyway. This was about less than 10 years after all the Ken, Mike, Deirdre love triangle, so they still weren't really on stable ground. She forgot his birthday that autumn. Wendy cooked him a birthday meal, so they started having an affair.
Wendy left the Recorder so that Ken could use the fact that he was short-staffed to go and see.
Yeah, yeah. See, he said, "Oh, I haven't got anyone working for me. Oh, I've got to stay late."
Yeah.
That old chestnut.
Yeah. And she didn't like, but Wendy didn't like being a bit on the side and told Ken to tell Deirdre about them so that they could be together. And he said he would, but then he didn't.
No. And then that Christmas, he spent Christmas Eve at Wendy's. Deirdre found out and threw him out. And she said because they were married, she deserved half of the Recorder's profits, the Weatherfield Recorder's profits. He was forced to sell up to the Gazette, the rival newspaper. But then eventually,
Wendy got
his job at the Gazette. And then as the spring went on, there were the strains of unemployment, plus Deirdre and Tracy were continuing to be a part of his life. Tracy was really liked Wendy, much to Deirdre's annoyance. Ken and Wendy ended up rowing one time when he visited her stepmother. And he ended up saying, basically, he should have never have left Deirdre, and then...
goes back to her.
Well, no, he didn't go back to Deirdre, he just left Wendy. Ken and Deirdre weren't together again for many years. So that was the story of Wendy Crozier, really. So, I mean,
She went to Norfolk.
Yeah, I never watched it back then. I've seen a lot of the 1980s episodes, and then from the mid-90s onwards, so this was a period of time that I haven't seen, but I had heard of Wendy Crozier before. And the big impact that she made when she was brought in. So it's quite good to have a blast from the past back.
And it is the same actress.
Yeah, which is always good.
So how many years ago was she in it?
Yeah, make me do some maths. 20 and a bit, 22, yeah. 23. Yeah, so...
interesting.
Maybe if this works, I'll bring some other characters back then back.
Maybe.
So yeah, that was it. So there we go. Hopefully you're up to speed about the backstory between Ken and Wendy, and we'll see what drama happens next. We'll be back in a minute with The Cabin.
Now it's time for The Cabin, which is the new section of the podcast. And the first new story we have here is Inside Soap Awards, a bit of a
Disaster, wasn't it? We said on last week's episode that Corrie had got 16 nominations, and how many awards did it pick up in the end?
It got 3 awards.
Yeah.
Best Young Actor, Alex Bain.
Who plays Simon.
Best Dressed and Sexiest Female, which are 2 separate. So yeah. They should kind of sound like they should be the same to me.
Well, they're both pretty meaningless. Best Dressed soap star and Sexiest Female, they've got nothing to do with their acting. They're kind of, they don't really mean anything. I'm sure Michelle was very pleased to get them. But
well, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth, but
no, it's hardly a triumph for the soap.
Not really, no.
But good on Alex Bain for getting Best Young Actor. I'm sure he's had some of those before. It was just, I didn't think they'd win Best Soap because EastEnders usually wins that, but it was quite a surprise that they didn't win things like Funniest Character. And
makes me wonder whether they'll rally round and sort of try to come up with some really exciting things towards Christmas. But
I mean, Corrie's not been the best it's ever been at the moment. I mean, I'm a bit fed up with all the surrogacy, but it's not been bad at the moment.
No.
And I haven't been watched. We don't watch the other soaps, so we don't know if they're particularly good.
That's true.
Yeah, it's just a shame, really. So good luck to them for the next awards.
Yeah.
Next bit of news, a casting from an ex Corrie actress, Nikki Sanderson, who plays Candice, will soon be joining the ranks of Hollyoaks as Maxine Miniver, described as a confident, a lively, impulsive, flirtatious bombshell with boundless energy and a penchant for living life on the edge and to the full. A fearless risk-taker, Maxine is street-savvy, witty, ambitious, and can spot an opportunity a mile off.
Okay, well, when...
That sounds a bit like Candice, really.
No, Candice was nice enough, but I never got the idea that she was street-savvy and ambitious.
No, that's true.
She sort of bumbled along, didn't she, really?
Yeah.
But I'm sure that's come with more maturity for the actress.
Yeah.
So she'll be able to portray somebody like that now, because she was a good-looking...
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't remember how long she's been in it.
Mm-hmm.
How long it was since she's been in it, but I'm quite sure she looks quite different now than she did then.
Yeah. So, anyway, we won't be watching her, but for anyone,
no, I'd like
any
to
Nikki
see...
Sanderson fans, there you go, you can watch her on that.
I'd like to see a headshot of the character. I'd like to see how she looks differently.
I'm sure you can look on the internet.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Third bit of news, Radio Times is supporting the annual awards scheme run by the Creative Diversity Network, which is a forum for promoting diverse talent in the creative industries.
But to me, that I just have to say, that sounds very ambiguous as to what they mean.
Creative Diversity Network, yeah.
Yeah, what they mean is actors from groups that aren't well represented.
Yeah.
So ethnic minorities and disabled actors.
Yeah. This year, Radio Times are asking us to pick the winner in the soap category, and you can vote for Izzy.
Yes.
Along with some of the
actors. I don't know any other characters from other soaps who would be in the same category as that, but we haven't really looked into it.
If you go on to radiotimes.com, you can see who the other
nominees
are, but not vote for them.
I think it's good to support this, because I don't see why we can't have more actors who are disabled in soaps. I remember there was a big fuss they made when Izzy came into the soap, and I still don't think they've really explained much about
They haven't gone into her disability much at all, apart from when it was linked to not being able to have...
but they still never really said anything about it, which is, on one hand, it's good, because why should you have to explain everything, because, you know, but on the other hand, people need to be educated about these things, because there's just no opportunity to know about it otherwise.
Yeah.
But I know that people have been talking before about, they don't understand why she stands out of her wheelchair at times.
Yeah.
But she's not...
She's not paralysed.
No, she has movement. It just hurts quite a lot to do it. And there was actually a scene when she had, the tram crash, where she stood up to say something at the bar, and they sort of made a big deal about her standing up to say this thing. And it was obviously, she was going through the pain of standing because it was such a dramatic moment, but it was completely
it just confused
lost.
People.
Because people didn't understand why is she suddenly standing up.
Yeah.
So, all related to trying to support this Creative Diversity Network. Maybe we'll see more actors, more diverse actors in the future.
Yeah, so next bit of news really quickly is that new episodes of Red Dwarf start on Thursday next week, starring Craig Charles, who is Lloyd off Coronation Street.
Originally from Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf was his big acting break, because he was a poet before that. So if Craig Charles fans can tune into that next Thursday on Dave.
In the UK.
And then other bit of TV, the Corrie Years episode 4 was on this week, all about the kids of the show who have grown
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Quite interesting to start with Gail.
Yeah, I didn't know this.
Teenager.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, she came in as a teenager, but she was played by an actress, or she, Helen Worth was 22, 23 or so
yeah.
when she came in. So that was quite funny seeing her in her younger days. She did look very similar, didn't she?
She had the
same face. Chesney was obviously in it, and we were expecting to go, "Ah, Chesney," but we really, really did, didn't we? He was so little and adorable. But baby Schmeichel as well.
I was so sad when they brought up Schmeichel again, because I was really annoyed when they killed him.
Yeah.
They basically just sacrificed him at the altar of Chesney's childhood to try to transition yeah. him into a man, but I don't see why the dog had to die.
Lucille Hewitt was the third kid that they profiled, which is a character I knew nothing about, but it was the child in the show right back when it started, which was quite big back then because most of the cast were adults.
Yeah, well, the thing is about teenagers, I think I remember reading this, the idea that there's such a thing as a teenager is only really a recent
yeah.
idea, like they just used to be a kid and then you were an adult.
Yeah.
So this sort of teenage culture was quite weird, I think, to a lot of people.
Yeah, back then.
I don't know about back then, but I know that
it's not an old concept that
teenagers exist. So that was really interesting because it was funny seeing because obviously the writers aren't teenagers. They don't know much about what teenagers were like, but they had to create
yeah.
this character. And I think they did a good job because everybody loved the character.
Yeah, yeah. Then David Platt was in it. I mean, they briefly mentioned the fact that he was played by a different actor before Jack P. Shepherd came in, or several different actors, but when he was a baby. They showed a few little cute David shots and then discussed how he had reason for becoming the psycho that he grew to be after the Richard yeah. Hillman incident. So that was quite interesting and nice to relive that back.
I like the fact that he brought up where his evil stare comes from.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and he had based it on Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Yeah.
And I always knew somehow subconsciously that was where the look had come from.
Yeah, and they showed the Shining picture.
Yeah.
And you can tell that David
he does channel him, doesn't
yeah.
he? It's a shame he hasn't been given the opportunity to do any glaring at people recently.
Not recently. And then the last person that was in it was Steve McDonald, talk about how he was brought in as the teenage heartthrob in the late 80s. He was
yeah.
on all the covers of the girls' magazines.
Yeah, and he was saying that celebrity status was a lot different back then because there weren't as many celebrities as we have now, and it was very difficult to handle all the fan mail and everything.
Yeah, I'm sure he loved it though. Next week's episode is all about stunts of the street, so they'll obviously talk about the tram crash. I'm sure they'll have the car going, Richard Hillman driving into the canal.
Yeah.
There have been a few explosive moments, lots of fires to choose from.
Oh yeah, lots of special effects.
Yeah, so, I mean, and whether or not they'll go back to some of the earlier dramatic episodes, like when the Rovers had the lorry being driven into it, or the
yeah.
coach crash. Who knows, I'm sure they'll have a good mixture.
Yeah.
So that's on next week, and that's the penultimate episode.
Oh.
We'll be back in a little bit with some feedback. So we had one comment this week. It's Tvor again from the Corey blog. Hello again.
Hello.
Hello, thank you for keeping on commenting on us. Really liking Lloyd's new storyline already. Excellent actors involved. I love Mandy's personal style too. I want her wardrobe. I actually have a good friend in Manchester who went to acting school with the actress playing Jenna, and she's thrilled to bit of her.
That's nice.
I think Jenna will come looking for Lloyd again, as she will want to know more. Well, that's been disproven already. Lloyd's the one that went up to look for Jenna. Mandy will probably fight it all the way. Yes, I can
yeah.
still see that happening.
Now, she disagrees with me about Lloyd. I can't remember what I said about
you
Lloyd.
You said you didn't really like Lloyd. Not that you didn't like him, but you weren't.
I tell you what it is that about Lloyd that I have a problem with him. It's because I know the actor from Red Dwarf, and I'm comparing the two characters.
Mm.
And compared to Dave Lister, Lloyd Mullaney is just the boring normal man.
I think they're pretty similar. They're like
no, they're not.
Beer and curries.
No. Well, Devor says I really like him, and he's never really had too many stories of his own. But when he has a voice, found that Kratos has done a great job. I agree with that. But like I say, it's probably my problem that I don't care too much about Lloyd. But there's always going to be a place in my heart for Craig Charles to be acting on the television, so that's good. That's fine with me.
Yeah, she went on to say she doesn't understand why Rita got all emotional and cried buckets over Tina's decision. Angry, yes. It occurs to me that this is the second time Tina's done something or was involved in something illegal for friends. Remember Graham and Sheen's marriage for immigration purposes?
Yeah, that was
that's
a
true.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's probably just sick of Tina just being a bit reckless.
Yeah.
And she also says she loves Beth and Kirk together, but then I'd like to see any Kirk story. I don't think Kirk would get on with a dopey woman. They'd end up both under a bus or something. He needs a woman that's got a bit more on the ball. Is a bit more on the ball than he does, and he treats his women like gold, and that has to count for something. I don't think Beth has had a lot of that.
That's true.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I guess so. Last thing, Gloria is so going to be busted on this pub contest thing, and when I was a teen back in the day, Golden Glow was a cheap, nasty cider here.
That gives another dimension to the amazing joke.
Do you think that the writers knew that?
I hope they did. But yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, so thanks for contacting us again. Keep your comments coming in.
If you want to send us an email, you can send it to conversationstreet@gmail.com.
And we're still up for giving away our Corrie Does Romania DVD to anyone from the UK that wants it. Just send us an email. You can happily have our DVD.
You can visit our website at conversationstreet.podbean.com. You can send us an iTunes review. By just typing the name in and clicking.
One thing I wanted to say, if you type in Conversation Street in iTunes, you'll find us, but if you type in Coronation Street, you won't. And I'm trying to work out how I can get it so that people can search for Coronation Street and still find us. So if anybody knows, it'd be nice of you to let us know.
Yeah.
You can follow us on Twitter at Conversation Street, and then we're on Facebook as well.
Just
search Conversation Street or go to the link on our blog. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with some more Corrie chat.
Bye.
Bye-bye. The music for this podcast came from podcastthemes.com.